I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, He undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Be seated, please. My text this morning is the last clause of verse 54 of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. There are different ways of imparting the living power of God's eternal truth. One way which greatly aids the impartation of learning and instruction from the Word of God is the use of allegory. Allegory is the setting forth of teaching in a figurative, symbolic legend in parable form. The form is a story, but its substance is eternal truth, a truth that enlightens the souls of man and woman. It is the use of the parable in a special and simple manner. The great example of that in English literature is, of course, The Pilgrim's Progress, a book of allegory setting forth the plain gospel of Christ. But the Bible itself makes use in the wisdom of God, spiritual allegory. And at times it reveals its secrets and its wisdom by this form of teaching. If there is anything more important in church life, it is the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting is the most vital part of the life of the church. It's the artery that feeds the blood into the body of the church. It is the holy fire that lightens men's hearts and souls to lay hold upon God and reach the utmost heights of praying. It is also true that the church is thrust down to the lowest depths of worthless praying, which is a vain utterance, which is without form and has no burning power. Now there is something in each church of Jesus Christ they have in common. The value of true praying or the valuelessness of vain praying. Is your praying true praying? Then it will be answered. If your praying is valuelessness, it's vain praying, and it will not be answered. Samson, with his hair uncut, was almighty against all his enemies. Samson, shorn of the practice of his Nazarene oath, put the mighty Samson into a state of powerlessness. Who are you like when you pray? Are you like Samson? Under the oath of God, are you like Samson, shorn of his hair by his enemies? As I was thinking the other day, I was thinking of the curse, the awful curse of prayerlessness. And I decided I would, by way of allegory, define the difference in this sermon between a real thriving prayer meeting and the powerlessness of a burnt out prayer altar, leaving nothing but ashes. Perhaps the simplicity of allegory will be a baptism of reality to us all, and will bring before us as a church, of all subjects, one of the most important. How can we pray, and pray with such fire and might and blessing that Christ's power is released and revival fire is set a burning in our pews and among our people? Or are we going to live and die having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof? I would call the place wherein many churches are located today as dead town. It operates a weekly prayer meeting for many years. But nothing in this last day has caused the church to taste weekly the sorrow of its own death than the fact that its prayer meetings are dead. Alas, like Samson, they are shorn, and we have not awakened to recognize the awful fact that the pit into which we have fallen results in death. No wonder the town where there are dead prayer meetings take the name of dead town, for the life of God has forsaken the place. I invite you to attend today a weekly meeting of prayer in dead town. What a dry, parched place this prayer meeting is. There is a word in the Bible, 1 Samuel 4:21, and it is the word Ichabod. What does it mean? The glory has departed. Take each letter and think of what they stand for and learn the truth. Learn what we have lost. The first letter of this word is I. It stands for the insult that many of our prayers are as we offer them to God. Instead of inviting God to work a work of power, they insult God by their faithlessness, by their shortness, by their lack of purity and lack of power. C stands for carelessness in our approach to God. Some people think they can rush into God's presence, put a few words into sentences, say a loud amen, and disappear. That's not praying. That's carelessness, on which comes the due curse of God. H stands for haste. Prayer is not something hastily done. Prayer is what? Waiting upon God. You can't marry haste to waiting. They're opposite. On what end of the pew are we on? The part for haste or the part for waiting upon God? A stands for all. And all petitions are not urged with patience. And when they're not urged with patience, they bring no answer. But the soul gets even colder without even a suggestion of fire. B stands for boldness. But there's no boldness when faith is missing. O stands for openness before the whole world. Openness is not displayed in dead prayer meeting. In fact, there's an effort to cover up, to hide away from God's eye. And D stands for delight and petitions, but in the dead prayer meeting, there's no delight. It is like a purgatory instead of being a paradise. Before I come to deal with those ingredients which have practiced would exalt and transform the most deadliest of prayer meetings, I want to picture to you these prayer meetings in this church in Dead Town. Some days ago, I happened on a book in an old second-hand bookstore. It was written by a man called Charles H. Yatman. What a name. Yatman. And he wrote a book about the first church in Dead Town and a close scrutiny of the prayer meeting. And he pointed out that this prayer meeting was as dry as a shaving of old dead wood with plenty of dry sawdust thrown in. Were you ever in a prayer meeting like that? Were you? I see some people smiling. They've had the bitter experience. Some of the young boys who attended the prayer meeting for jokes described it as steel pudding and very tough beef. You ever in a prayer meeting where they had steel pudding and tough beef? The usual attendance was around about 50. Who was to blame for this bad state of spiritual deadness? First, the minister was blamed. How grand it is to have a pot shot right out in front of you. So when you want to criticize, he's there for the killing, and he has to take it. Blame the preacher is a popular pastime with many old dead people in the pew. They've got to find a target for their arrows. And so the preacher comes in for that criticism. Sometimes the church officers are picked out and displeasure for the way they attend the services are often spoken about. And sometimes certain saints are picked out. I was thinking, yes, they're saints, but they're all saint myself, because they are all claiming that they're the saints. They're all prominent figures amongst the canonized. And they would never think of blaming themselves for anything. They are sinless saints. Mr. Yatman said that the pastor of this church was a doctor go slow. He was never in a hurry to get to the prayer meeting. But he was very fast when he got to the prayer meeting. He couldn't get it closed quick enough. When he came to Dead Town, he blamed the town itself. He did, of course, whether he intended it or not, hinted that things could be changed. But how, said Dr. Yatman, could you change things when the leading elder was a man, Mr. Tarry a bit? He never was in any hurry to do anything. He was very slow to speak about the lifelessness of the church. And he stopped many blooms that came among young people who were converted. He stopped them growing into fruit-bearing Christians. He had a habit of using a word over and over again. And the word that he used was the word bad. Everything was bad. If he had looked to himself, he would have known that he was very bad. Totally bad. But he talked about the bad air. He said the ventilation in the church was bad. He talked about the bad light. He said that the electric was bad. He talked about the bad people. He never, of course, looked in the mirror when he talked about bad people. He talked about bad management. He talked about bad praying. He talked about bad singing and bad results. And he had a friend in the Kirk session, who was Mr. Elder Browndoff, and all he could do was say amen to all that Mr. Tarry said. Have you ever met Mr. Tarry? Have you ever met Mr. Elder Browndoff? He was only loud with an amen when Mr. Tarry was exposing what he said needed to be exposed. But Pastor Go Slow, for once, made haste. And he said, having listened to all these bad things and their definition, he said, these matters which Elder Tarry has mentioned are in fact not what he said. They were bad. He says they are seven stinking corpses. Man, he was getting the fire. For the first time, the people sat up and took notice. A woman said, our pastor's ill. We better get him to the hospital. But he wasn't ill. He was sick of it all. He said, tonight I'm going to have a burial service for these seven stinking corpses. But he said, before we have it, he says, there are some things we must do. And he called another elder who was called Mr. Sleepy. And he said, Mr. Sleepy, I want you to open every window in this church and get all the bad air out. We have a complaint about bad air. Well, let's open the windows. There was another elder there, and he was Mr. Faithless. And he always wrapped the bad people in the congregation in shrouds that he described and said they should all be shrouded. We have sown them, he says, in corruption, sown them in dishonor, sown them in weakness, and we have sown them in Mother Nature. But he said, the pastor said, no matter what you say, Mr. Faithless, I say we're all going to stand and sing. And I'm calling on Miss Crow to lead the singing, because she has always led the singing. But he says, I'm going to tell her what to sing. Did Christ o'er sinners weep? And shall our cheeks be dry? Let floods of penitential grief burst forth from every eye. The Son of God in tears, angels with wonder see. Be thou astonished, O my soul, he shed those tears for thee. He wept that we might weep. Each sin demands a tear. In heaven alone no sin is found, and there is no weeping there. Some people got up and left the church in anger. Some people rushed out as if every devil in hell was pursuing them. Some old people cried out, it's like old times again. Some young saints shouted, no more hard beef and no more bad nourishment. The whole of the fellowship of the saints was revived. One of the oldest members of the church was Mr. Long. He got his name because his prayers didn't last for a week. They lasted for a millennium. And when he started to pray, he started to pray a prayer about the beginning of the world with Adam. And he never finished his prayer without praying about the second coming and the last dispensation on earth. It was a long prayer. But the preacher said, Mr. Long is going to pray. And after Mr. Long had said 5 to 10 words, the pastor said, that's enough. I want you, Mr. Law, to say amen to your own prayer for the first time, which he obediently did. The pastor then brought this unique service to an end. And he said, till certain things are straightened out, I want that no one connected in any way with them shall either pray in these meetings nor intrude them into these services. And that is exactly what happened. Prayer broke the chains. It turned the dark places into light and the dead places into living ground. The congregation was dismissed by the singing of that great hymn of Wesley's, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save and fit it for the sky. to serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my powers engage to do my master's will. Arm me with zealous care, as in thy sight we live, and oh, thy servant, Lord, prepare a strict account to give. Help me, help me, help me to watch and pray, and on thyself rely. And let me never my trust betray, but press on to realms on high. It is our intention, said Pastor Goslow, to make a point that these Wednesday prayer meetings will never be the same again. They can be the power of the church and not a freezing parlor. I expect the church will be too small to desire to fill these meetings. But we are going to have a praise meeting every Wednesday to thank God for prayers that He has answered. To thank God for health to come to the prayer meeting so that we can pray for answers. And to thank God that God has greater answers to give than we can really imagine. And so next week, we'll start with a prayer service. And we will have a praise service, thanking God for what He has done. And I pray that every meeting will be a reaper's meeting, when we'll rejoice, having gone forth weeping, bearing precious seed. We have come again, bringing our shields, our sheaves with us. And so, the prayer meeting in Mr. Dead, and the prayer meeting in the church of death, finished, was buried in a Sadducee's grave, never to be resurrected. And that church, for once, started to move with God, and God moved with them. That story is the allegory, but isn't it a fact? We must all mourn our weakness, our deadness, our coldness, our busyness in things that are unimportant, and our longing for the meetings to finish quickly so that we can get out. I trust these words will be taken home to our heart. They moved me as I read that little dusty book in my study. And I said, this is truth. This is what happens among the people of God. We need to dare to be a Daniel. We need to dare to stand alone. We need to dare to rejoice in the preaching of the gospel and dare to make it known. There are minutes you could give to God. Will you give them? There are days you could give to God. Will you give them? There's a life you can give to God. Will you give it? God's looking today in this church to the pulpit and the pew, to take these matters in deep seriousness and ask God to stir our hearts to praying. I remember prayer meetings in this house where you couldn't get people to stop praying. remember tears in this house over lost souls. And those souls are not lost. Many of them, in fact, have crossed the river. I remember leading the worst sinner on this road to Christ, a man, drunkard, a villain, a man of filth and mire and mud. And I remember what he said to me in his deathbed. He said, "Ian, when you get to heaven at the eastern gate, I'll be waiting to greet you. And what a time we'll have in the sweet by and by when we meet in the glory and tell the story of how Christ loved us." I remember the day I carried that man into the old church. I remember the day when I knelt with him and pointed him to the Savior. I remember the day that he went round to his home and he introduced himself as a new member of the household. All things had passed away. All things had become new. We need repeats every week of that in our church. We need to fill the empty seats by bringing people. I remember a man coming, and he came every Sunday, and he gave me an account. And he used to talk to me in the prayer meeting and pat my shoulder. He says, "I have 17 in tonight. Let's pray for them." And every one of them that he brought could see it. Every one of them. So one of them sitting here tonight, today, an elder of the church, he was brought in by that man. Oh, my friends, let's get down to real business in this church for the souls of men. Mercy drops round as are falling, but for the power of a mighty revival, we pray for.